So Shannon tells me last week I said too much too fast. What? I'm outing her. Jeff thought that. So tonight I'm going to try to say less and slower. And we'll see if I succeed at that. But tonight, you know, the sections that we read this week, we wrapped up the offerings, and then it moved into the ordination of Aaron and his sons, and then that wonderful moment when his sons get killed for bringing a strange fire. And then, of course, it moves into the impurity rules. I'm not going to talk about the impurity rules tonight. I'm probably going to talk about them in 2 weeks when we talk about holiness. Next week, I'm going to talk about the Day of Atonement itself because it's the most important ceremony, the most important ritual. Tonight, the main thing I want to talk about is priesthood, okay? We're going to talk about the institution of the priesthood, and we're going to talk about how that applies to Jesus and then how it applies to us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that all Scripture is breathed by you and is profitable for equipping your people, for teaching, for training. So Lord, we just lift up all those strange places in Scripture, and in particular, we ask that you would teach us from this book, and Lord Jesus, that you would help us to see you in these pages. Lord, I do ask that in these days, you would help us to understand something of the nature of sin and holiness and the work of your Son as it's displayed here in the book of Leviticus. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We worship you and ask you to equip us and train us tonight in the name of your Son, Jesus. So let me read, I'm not going to read all of this, but let me just read a little bit of the ordination of Aaron there in chapter 9. I'll just read 7 or 8 verses. On the 8th day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel and said to Aaron, "Take for yourself a bull calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, both without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And say to the people of Israel, take a male goat for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both a year old, without blemish for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for a peace offering to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil. For today the Lord will appear to you." Then they brought what Moses commanded in front of the tent of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, "This is the thing that the Lord commanded you to do, that the glory of God may appear to you." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people, and bring the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord has commanded." And so they go through all of the rituals of washing and putting on the robes and the turban and everything else. And I'll go ahead and lift a read out of the end of chapter 9. Verse 22. "Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." So this is the beginning of worship in Israel. God has commanded the tabernacle. He's commanded the sons of Aaron to be priests. But this is the actual beginning of worship. Right? This is the first time that that they have begun worship in the tabernacle. And so, as I said, I want to focus on the priesthood and help give us an understanding of what priests do and how that applies to us. So I have a few broad statements to make about the priests. The priest is one appointed by God to draw near to God for the people. Okay, Aaron and his sons were supposed to draw near to God for the sake of the people. And of course, this meant that they had to be set apart in all kinds of ways. So just think about this. Again, I'm not going to treat this episode much, but when Aaron's sons die, Moses says, "You cannot go out and mourn. You cannot tear your clothes." Why? Because you've been set apart as a priest. You have the holy anointing oil on you, Okay? So priests were these people chosen by God to draw near to God on behalf of the people. You could say they were peacemakers. Okay? They were bringing peace and reconciliation between God and his people. Another way to think of the priests is that they were the leaders of worship. And I always like to remind everybody, how do we worship? Well, we sing songs and we pray and we come to communion. But then, how did they worship? With sacrifices. All right, and I know we don't usually think of what they did as worship, but it was worship. Remember, later on, in the time of David, what does he add to temple worship? Does anybody remember what he adds? He adds music, okay? He had an intuition, all right? He adds music, and God allows him to add that music. So they're leaders of worship. Another thing that the scripture says that the priests do is teach the people the law. This is what makes you clean. This is what makes you unclean. This is what you do if you realize you violated the purity laws, all right? They were to teach the people of God in particular to make distinctions, to know the difference between clean and unclean, holy and common. So they were teachers of the people, meant to teach them. As we see in this episode, they were meant to bring the blessing of God to his people once atonement had been made, all right? Once he had offered up the atonement offering, it says that he blessed the people, and then he went into the tabernacle and he came out and he blessed them again. So they, the priests, were meant to bring blessings to the people of God from God after making atonement. So the big thing that I want to draw our attention to is they're this class of people that are set apart, okay? They're set apart in all kinds of ways. One of the ways is they don't have land. When they get into the promised land, they're homeless. Okay, they don't get to have land like everybody else does. Why? Because they're devoted to the worship of the Lord. They're devoted to his sanctuary, and their inheritance is supposed to be the Lord. So they're set apart for this privilege of being close to God. But the most important thing I want to say about the priests is they were close to God for the people. Okay, if you want to phrase, they were drawn close to God for the sake of the people. It wasn't for themselves. It wasn't, hey, look at me at this cool outfit I get to wear and how important I am. And when you think about the high priest in Jesus' day, they were really fat cats, right? They really seemed to love their power and authority and prestige, but they were meant to be servants of the people. They were meant to do all the things they did and give up a lot of privileges so that they could draw near to God for the sake of the people. All right, they were restricted, they were restrained, they were limited in the things they could do, but it was all to bring blessings on the people of God. All right, so a priest, among other things, was someone who is set apart to draw close to God, to bring blessings to the people. He lived for the sake of the people. So I just want to mention some of the steps of the ordination. And by the way, this would go on all the time. Remember, there's a washing there. So let me just mention some of the steps that go on all the time to give us a flavor for priests and what they did on a regular basis. Moses, when he is ordained, is washed in water. Okay? He is washed, and there's water there all the time because the priests have to continually be washed. And you can say this points to baptism. He has to be clothed in special garments, right? And in Exodus, it tells us that these garments are for glory. They were meant to be beautiful. They were meant to set them apart. We don't have dress anymore so much that sets people apart. You can still see it with a judge. Everybody knows a judge when they see him because they often have a black robe on. Police officers, we can recognize a police outfit, but the priest had totally unique clothes that said, this person is a priest, okay? So he had to put on those clothes. He had a breast piece, and remember, the breast piece had stones for all the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? Because those stones represented all the tribes, and the priest was bringing those tribes in prayer before God. So he's wearing this breast piece. He wears a turban, which is a crown, and on this crown it says, it's got a little sign, it's got an insignia that says, holy to the Lord, all right, set apart to serve God on behalf of the people of God. And then as the ordination goes on, Aaron, they take the anointing oil of the temple, the special formula reserved only for the temple. Remember, this anointing oil was so unique that if anybody used it in their house, I kind of like that smell, I'd like to do some potpourri in the house, they were to be cut off. Okay, this was special. So Aaron has this oil poured out on his head, and it should remind you of Psalm 133, right? How good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the oil going down Aaron's beard. So he's anointed with oil, which signifies his beginning as priest and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then there are a succession of three offerings where in each one, Aaron and his sons lay their hands on the animals' heads and confess their sins over the animals so that those animals can atone for their sins. And of course, this is a pleasing aroma. And then we get to the unique part. After all the offerings have been made, when blood is taken, this is the part that's most unusual, right? And blood is put on the earlobe, on the thumb, and on the big toe. And among other things, I think this speaks of circumcision. Okay, it's blood, it's a wounding, and it's an ear that's opened by God, right? It's hands that are blessed by God to work in God's strength, not their own. It's feet that go where God has them go, and it speaks of a heart that is circumcised. All right, so it speaks of a cutting away of human ability so that they are just there available to God. And then, of course, and this is one that I'd never really noticed before, they're sprinkled with blood and oil. And I always wondered about this because the blood would stay stained on those garments, right? I would assume. It stays on those garments. It's a permanent mark on them. So, and then, and this is interesting as well, after the ordination ceremony, who remembers how long they have to stay there in the temple? They have to stay there for a whole week. They have to stay there at the opening of the temple for a whole week before they began, because the setting apart and making them holy had to be a thorough process. All right, it had to go on for all these days. So again, this is just to give us a flavor for what priests were doing and what was involved in their ordination. And remember, almost every day there was washing, there was putting on garments, there was offering up animals, there was pouring out blood, there was oil, there was that fragrant aroma. The temple would have had a very distinctive smell. Okay, it would have had the smell of this anointing oil, it would have had the smell of blood, I assume, and it would have had the smell of roasting meat. So what I want to do now, though, is turn to Jesus, because I know that all of these sacrifices speak of Jesus. All of these sacrifices point to him in some way. And what I'm going to do, you can do this on your own, but what I'm going to do is read some passages out of Hebrews. Okay, the book of Hebrews is the New Testament book about the temple. All right, if you want to understand, this is the book that speaks the most of temple, the most of sacrifices, the most of Jesus as a priest. So I'm just going to read some of the passages here that are about the priesthood. I will give you the reference. You won't be able to keep up unless you just write the reference down. So starting in 2:17, therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So Jesus was made like his brothers, you and I, in every respect, which means he knew what it was like to grow up. He knew what it was like to go through all the stages of life. He was really made man like us. 3:1, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who is faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. 4:14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. I want you to consider that. In every respect, tempted as you are. Jesus took on flesh and knows what it means to be tempted, just like we are. Of course, he resisted that, but I want you to consider the writer of Hebrews is saying he is a high priest who can sympathize with you. I don't know if you've ever known somebody that you were sharing your problems with and you just thought, man, they're too good. They don't struggle, all right? You can't say that about Jesus. It's not that he struggled. It's that he knows what temptation is like, and he can sympathize. So he says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we are tempted, we have a high priest who knows what it's like to be tempted and who can teach us how to resist that temptation and give us the grace to do it. 6:19, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So I guess we could take a whole night to talk about Melchizedek, but does everybody remember Melchizedek? He was this priest of Salem who came to Abraham and brought bread and wine and blessed him. And he's this sort of mysterious figure that the writer of Hebrews says gives us a picture of what Christ's priesthood was like. But the point there is that Christ is an anchor for the soul for us because he lives before God on our behalf all the time. What does a priest do? They draw to God on our behalf. Jesus has drawn to God on our behalf and stays there. 7:15. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent. In other words, not just because he was Aaron's son, right? Not just because he was a descendant of Aaron, but why? Because of the power of an indestructible life. Jesus is a priest, the priest, because of the power of his indestructible life, the life of obedience to the Father and poured out for others. The writer of Hebrews tells us it can't be destroyed. It can't be undone. 7:23, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Hebrews 8:1, now the point of what we are saying is this, we have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. I want you to consider that. A high priest who knows what it's like to be human, a high priest tempted like you are, a high priest that can sympathize with you, yet is at the right hand of the throne of God, at the center of the universe, ruling and reigning, and he's there for you. I don't know if anybody's ever had somebody go to bat for you. Anybody ever had maybe your parent go to bat for you, or maybe you've had to have a lawyer go to bat for you? This is the Son of God going to bat for you from the Father. Oh, and by the way, the Father hired him. He is there at the Father's right hand forever on our behalf. 9:11. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. 10:11, and every priest stands daily in his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. You know, priests never sat down in the temple. They never sat down, right? They always had to stand in God's presence because their ministry was never done. But the scripture tells us that when Jesus offered his blood, he sat down. His work was done. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, and the Father said, all right, now you just wait until I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. 10:19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. The curtain in the temple spoke not of this literal curtain, but the curtain of his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. All right, that should all evoke those sacrificial images there in Leviticus. 13:11, and this is the last one I'm going to read. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. So all of these sacrifices in the Old Testament are speaking of Jesus' ministry as a high priest. But the more we understand Leviticus, the more we understand what Jesus did and does as he lives as that high priest. So a priest is someone who draws near to God on behalf of the people, and Jesus is the high priest who draws near to God forever. He is forever one who intercedes on our behalf before the Father. And so the writer of Hebrews wants to say, listen, you need to draw near in confidence, in boldness, but also in fear and reverence. You can do both. But he calls us to come before God because Christ has been our perfect sacrifice. Amen? Now, I know we're familiar with a lot of these things, but now I want to turn. I want to talk about us. So we talked about the priest in the Levitical system. We talked about Jesus. But I want to talk about us. Because in the New Testament, in the book of 1 Peter, let's just go there really quickly. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter says this, starting in verse 5. I'll start in 4. And you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. We are a holy priesthood. Right? Every one of us here who calls on the name of Jesus is being built up to be a holy priesthood. You are to be holy to the Lord. You and I are to draw near to God on behalf of others. We are priests in Jesus to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We don't offer up bulls, but we offer up sacrifices, and they're acceptable because of Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You and I are called to be priests. You and I are called to be what they were. Now, I want you to think about this, because then there was just a percentage of the people of Israel that were priests. And they went before God on behalf of the rest of them, and they made atonement, and then they brought blessing to the people and taught the people how to live holy. But the Scripture says in Jesus, all of God's people are priests. So who are we priests for? Who do we go before God on behalf of? Well, I want to suggest two things. One, for each other. Okay? You are a priest for the other people sitting around you. You are called to go before God by the blood of Jesus and intercede and pray on behalf of other people and bring blessing to other people as a priest. Okay? I don't care male, female, young, old, you're a priest. You are called to be a priest, and you are called to have the same kind of awe and reverence and understanding of holiness that the priests of the Old Testament did. So, does everybody get this? This is amazing. So, number one, we are called to be priests for one another. You are called to be a priest for me. And to bring things from God's presence that I can't get any other way, but from you as you go before God, as you go before him in faith. But the other thing is this, the other way this works out is this, we are called to be priests to the world. Okay, in the Old Testament, it says again and again, that the people of Israel are called to be a light to the nations, where the nations will come and learn the law of God. And we participate with the people of God in that by grace now. You and I are called to be priests in this city. And I want you to think about that as we go through Leviticus and how involved the priesthood was, and consider that you are that for this city. You and I, us together, and all the people of God in this city, we are priests in this city. We're set apart. There's things that we can't touch. There's things that we can't go near because we're set apart to be holy and to come before God and to seek his face for people and bring blessing to them. Amen? So we are called to be priests for one another. We are called to be priests for the world. And let me just say this about, I want to stress this if it's not obvious. Our priesthood is by virtue of his priesthood. Okay, we don't go, oh, Jesus is a priest, so let's imitate him. It's not imitation of Jesus. It's participation in Jesus. Does that make sense? It's not imitation of him, oh, he's a good priest, let's try to be good priests. It's not that. It's we have faith in him, so we're united to him in baptism, and we ascend with him in resurrection, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he, I'm going to try to put it this way, priests in and through us. I made up that verb. Jesus Christ priests through you and I. His action and life of being close to the Father on behalf of the world comes alive in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by our own virtue. And we participate by grace in the priesthood of Jesus. Your prayer will never be perfect. But you know what? When you pray, you participate in Jesus' prayer to the Father. You do. Your faltering prayer, your weak prayer, your prayer that you just don't feel like you have the right words, you are connected to Christ, and his prayer to the Father makes your prayer effective. Isn't that good? Your service to somebody else that you're just not quite sure of, and it just feels so paltry and cheap and weak and ineffective, in faith, you participate in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And by virtue of his priesthood before the Father, we can be priests as well. Isn't that good? That is who we are. That is the foundation of our lives. Now, I want to go back to Hebrews, and I'm almost done. And I want to share out of Hebrews chapter 12. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, he sort of moves on talking about Jesus as priest, and he speaks of us. So starting in verse 28. 12:28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us offer to God acceptable worship. Let me translate it this way. Let us be priests. Okay, let us be the priests of God that we're called to be, with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, I want to stress this. We are to go before God with confidence and boldness and with reverence and awe. And the two are not mutually exclusive. They're not. Okay, we can go before God and say, God, I'm coming before you because you commanded me to come in boldness and confidence and ask for these things. And I also come in reverence and awe. I want to obey you. And I want you to do whatever you need to do in my life to cleanse me. And if you need to kill something, kill it. All right, so we come with reverence and awe to be priests, for our God is a consuming fire. Chapter 13, let brotherly love continue. So what's one of the sacrifices we offer up to God? Brotherly love. Okay, we don't offer bulls, we don't offer goats, we don't wring the necks of doves, but you know what? When you love someone, when you serve someone with active love in the body of Christ, the Father smells that. This is, oh, that smells good. That smells like my son. See, active love, participating in Jesus, takes a cup of cold water and turns it into something beautiful for God. Turns the smallest act of service in love into a fragrant aroma before God. Does that make sense? Isn't that good? We are called to serve one another in active love. So let brotherly love continue. Don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hospitality, opening our homes. Here it says to strangers, but opening our homes to one another, to strangers, that is a sacrifice that we bring to God through Jesus Christ, and it brings pleasure to him. You could translate it this way. Kids, you don't have homes, but you know what? You can show hospitality by befriending people, by having your eyes open for people you don't know and offering them welcome, becoming friends of theirs. Verse 3, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. So purity in marriage, purity of our sexual lives, this is a sacrifice to God. This is something pleasing to him. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Think about how much the scripture says about money. Keep yourself free from the love of money. The love of money is the what? The root of all evil. He says, keep yourself free from the love of money. How? By being content. All right, and the implication is that we become generous with our money, that we become generous with the resources that are ours. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? All right, does this make sense? So I want you to be able to translate. All right, there's all these sacrifices and we offer them up now. How does this all work? Well, here's a passage that shows us how it works. When we love, that's a sacrifice. If we offer it up in faith. When we remain sexually pure in God's boundaries, that's a sacrifice to God. It's pleasing to him. When we show hospitality, when we do all of these things, these are sacrifices. Isn't that good? All right. I want to mention one last thing, and then we'll spend some time at the table, and I'd like to spend some time tonight ministering to one another, being priests for one another. So the last thing I want to mention is this. Everybody, how many people have heard the expression, the priesthood of all believers? Anybody have heard this expression? It comes really from the Reformation era. A lot of the reformers were big on this because they said, listen, the popes and the bishops, we don't need them. The whole people of God are a priest according to scripture. I want to make something very clear about that though, because sometimes in popular Christian understanding, the priesthood of all believers has come to mean, I don't need anybody else. I can just have my Bible and me and Jesus, and I can get everything I need that way. Does that make sense? It's individualistic. It's, I love the song, but you know, the song, I come to the garden alone. It's me and Jesus and nobody else. Okay? But I want to make this clear. What did we say what a priest was? Somebody who draws near to God for the sake of others. All right? So number one, we are a kingdom of priests. We're not isolated priests. And it's not just everybody alone with Jesus. It's, I draw near to him for your sake. And you draw near to him for my sake. Christian maturity comes when your relationship with God becomes more and more about other people. And when it grows away from you and your problems, not that we can't pray for those things, but when you, before God, more and more your heart goes to other people, you are maturing in your role as a priest before God for the people of God. And so the priesthood of all believers is not an individualistic thing. All right, it's a thing where we together as the people are priests for one another and we're priests for the world. So it's really important that we understand that it is not an individualistic thing. We minister to one another as priests. We draw near to God on behalf of the world. And so we should understand that too, that you know what? You know why you're in this city? You're in this city, we're in this city together for the sake of this city. Jesus doesn't take us to heaven like he took Elijah to heaven because he wants us here to intercede for this city. He wants us here to be salt in the city, to keep it from destruction, to keep it from decay. And it's decaying. Talk to Emily about her new job. You still every day out? So what's your job?
I'm now raising money for a nonprofit that mobilizes volunteers to go into strip clubs and to minister to women who are prostituting on the street.
She sees it every day. Every day you're out there, right? All right. Talk to Emily. If you don't know that there's decay in this city and that we are called to be priests of the city, and Emily is a priest at her job. And you're a priest at your workplace. You're priests in your neighborhood. So let me finish by just saying this. We continue to offer sacrifice, and here's our sacrifice. Here's how we are priests in this city. Listen very carefully. We live Christ-shaped lives together. Okay, as we love one another, as we serve one another, as we give ourselves to active love for one another, that's part of how we are priests in this city. We do this in this city, not in some remote place where people can't see it, right? It's in this city. We want people to be able to see it. We want people to be able to rub up against it. and remember that our life together is for the sake of the world. It's not for the sake of TCF. It's not for the sake of the CF churches. It's not for the sake of evangelicals or Kentucky or the United States of America, but it's for the sake of the world. All right, our life together here tonight is for the sake of this city. Does that make sense? And we are God's priests in this place. Amen?
Amen.
So here's what I'd like to do tonight as we come to the table. I want to ask you all to come and receive. And again, we're going to have the front open if people want to pray by themselves. But I want to ask you to come and receive. By the way, there were sacrifices that Aaron and the priests could not eat. Right? There were sacrifices that had to be offered wholly to God. But guess what? This is a sacrifice we as priests get to eat. It's so hard for us to get our minds around the fact that we have more privilege than Aaron and Moses. That we have a fuller access to God than they did. And we are called to use that access to be given to others. So what I'd like to ask us to do, if you don't personally just by yourself want to come up and pray in the altar, I'd like you to go and minister to somebody. And if you don't feel like you're in the place to be to minister, that's fine. Ask somebody to pray for you. Ask somebody to be a priest for you and minister God's blessing to you. Amen? All right, let's stand up. Lord Jesus, I just want to continue to ask that you would give us a sense of what it would have been like to be formed year in and year out by these sacrifices, year in and year out by that priesthood. Lord, year in and year out by those smells and those sights and that understanding of sin and holiness and purity. Lord, I pray that it would, by the power of the Holy Spirit, enrich our understanding of what you have done. Lord, I pray that it would enrich our understanding of what you continue to do. You, Jesus, are the priest for the whole world. You are the one man who goes before the Father with a perfect offering of his own life and his own blood for the sake of the world. And God, I ask that you would give us an increased Holy Spirit sense that we join you as priests. God, that we are called to that same holy calling, that we are called to that same set apartness for the sake of the world. Father, I pray that you would elevate us from our own problems and draw us into your life poured out for the sake of the world. Lord, I pray that you would elevate us from the things that preoccupy us, Lord, and bring us into your presence and send us forth with the blessing that comes from your throne. Lord, I pray that you would teach us how to draw near in confidence and boldness with reverence and fear. Lord, that we could come and get help in time of need. Lord, I do want to ask right now that for people who struggle with whatever they struggle with, God, whoever is here tonight who struggles, I pray that this week they would know the grace of drawing near to you in time of need and finding help. So Lord, I just want to ask that as we come to the table, Jesus, as we come to this meal, Lord, this blood of the covenant, your blood poured out, and this, your broken body on our behalf, that you would minister your priestly life through us to one another. Lord, that we would be built up. Lord, that we would know the fire that consumes the offering. So we bless you for that tonight, Father. And we honor you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's come to the table and minister to one another.